Welcome everyone. It's good to see you all. We are very happy to be able to be here to worship together and to be able to dig into God's Word. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19 today. And the theme of our service is, You Are Enough. You know, I think about this world and the way that people act and interact. So much of what we do because we're trying to find a place that we belong. We're trying to show that we can actually make a difference in this world. That people will know us, that we matter. And that's exactly what we're going to be discussing today. Now, there's a man in the Bible named Zacchaeus, and he was not a very well-liked man, to say the least. And we're going to read why. And so Jesus is on his way here. He's on his way to this place called Jericho. And it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to stay. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so you see this man, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. Okay, this is actually the only time the word chief tax collector is used in the Bible. Fun fact. And so what does that mean? Jericho was a place that there was a lot of trade happening. A lot of trade that was happening. And as you know, when we buy and sell goods, there's a tax on those goods. Now, could you imagine all of the tax dollars, like all of when you buy something, all the tax that you pay, if it were to go to one man? How wealthy would that man be? He would be very wealthy. And we would probably hate him for taking all of that money. And so here he was like the trader of traders, and so even the other tax collectors, right, they would pay to him because he was the chief tax collector. And with it, tax collectors, they had this reputation of being a little crooked, and sometimes taking a little more off the top than was necessary, because they were in power. They were seen as traitors to the Jewish people, because the Roman government, they would often elect Jewish members to take care of their own, to be the ones in their community collecting the tax, so that they wouldn't be mad at Rome, they'd be mad at one of their own. And so all of this plays together. This is a rich man who may have stolen money from other people and was a traitor to his kind. Not the most well-liked guy. Not the most well-liked guy. And so they hated him. They saw him as a sinner because he cheated others. And he was just this symbol of the government's authority and the symbol of oppression that was on them. Not the most exciting. You can imagine if you were him walking around not getting the most smiles from other people and hellos. Yeah, I'm sure you can relate to it. Sometimes you're walking around and it just looks like everybody has got a scowl on their face. Like just this negative, this nasty look, and you're like, I didn't even do anything. Why are you looking at me that way? And so here he is, and ultimately, you know, when other people, when they say things enough to you, now at first you might think, okay, I can write this off. Right? One person says something nasty to you, you can say, ah, whatever. Right? I don't care what you think. I don't even know who you are. But if enough people start saying it over and over and over again, you start to question. Well, maybe this is true. Maybe I am nothing but rotten. Maybe I'm just doomed to just live alone and to not have any friends or to not have anybody that really cares about me. And to boot, I mean, here he is, he's got these thoughts about himself. Now, this may offend some people. I'm very sorry in advance. I don't mean it this way. But there's a reason why there's the term Napoleon complex. Okay, why is that? All right, I might make fun of my little brother a little bit. He's not short, but growing up, he always felt like he had something to prove. Those of you who have siblings and younger siblings, you know what I'm talking about. And so he would always fight with me and just consistently try to show how much just power he had, how great he was, how he could compete with me on every level. And I just sat there and I just laughed and I was like, no, come on, seriously? I've got like 50 pounds on you. Like what? Like you think you, really? You can fight with me? Yeah, I see some of you who are the oldest siblings, you're laughing at. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And so here is this guy, he's trying to see Jesus, and he can't even see over a crowd. He would be the guy in the family photo or just in the photo that always has to be in the front of the picture. Right? He couldn't stand in the back. Even if he was, he's the guy who would have to stand on something to even be seen in the photo. Not even on his tippy toes could he see through this crowd. And so he makes this decision. Here he is, he's maybe insecure about how he looks, how he's acting, how others feel about him. And he decides, hey, I'm going to climb a tree so that I can be able to see Jesus. Now that's when's the last time many of you have climbed a tree? I don't know, it's been a little while. It's been a little while. It's not even like, I feel like every time I try to climb a tree now, or like, it's just like, I'm going to fall. I think that every single time I'm like, oh no, I need to be strapped in, like something's got to happen, something wrong. Like, it's going to go wrong. I can just feel it, like one of the branches is going to snap under me. And so this guy, he climbs this tree, forsaking the dangers that maybe come along with it, just so that he can get a glimpse of Jesus. And most of the time, right, when we as people, when we walk around, we don't look up. What does the ceiling in here look like? I think this is actually the first time I've looked at the ceiling. I walk into a room, I look around, I look left, right, but most of the time we don't think to check up. Because there's nothing up there, unless you're like looking at birds and you're bird watching or looking at the stars. But other than that, when you're driving, do you look up? Why not? Because there's nothing there. When you're walking around for college, when you're walking around on campus or through school, do you look up? Most of the time, no. No. So this guy, he's sitting there, he's in this tree. And you almost think there's no chance that Jesus is even going to see him. That Jesus is even going to notice him. And I think many of us can relate to this in that sometimes we don't want to be in the center. We don't want to be in the spotlight. Let me just observe from the back where no one can see me. No one will notice me. I'll just be there. I can watch it happen, but I don't have to participate in everything that's going on. Now, sometimes we do this because of our insecurities. Other times, we just don't like people, right? It would be easier for us to just sit in the back and not have to talk to anyone. And I know that's really hard here. And if you're feeling that this morning, I'm sorry, because someone will probably talk to you at some point today. They will. It happens. Because we're a family. Because we try to imitate Jesus. And so whereas this man was someone who was very easily overlooked by others, Jesus noticed him right away. Now, why did Jesus notice him? Look at his heart. This was a man who was willing to go above and beyond just so that he could get a glimpse of Jesus. Just so that he could watch him as he walked by. And I think his expectations were very, very low. Right? Do you think he expected that Jesus would notice him? Would Jesus have said anything to him? And for a lot of us, that's the expectation that I know that I had when I started coming to church and studying the Bible. I had literally no, because I had grown up going to church my whole life. I had listened to a lot of Christian messages, but had never really taken the time to dig deep into the Bible, to dig deep into the Scriptures. And so all of these things, I had very low expectations of what God and what a relationship with Him would be like. I didn't expect that Jesus would want anything to do with me, because a lot of the times you pray, and there was this sense of, am I just bothering God right now? Is this too small of a thing? Does He even care about me at all? Does He want anything to do with me? And so as I read and I learned, and you read passages like this, and you start to notice, well, you know what? Jesus is searching for those whose hearts earnestly want to see Him and earnestly want to know Him. And you see that as He was looking for Jesus, Jesus was actually the one looking for Him. And many of the times we use that phrase, well, I found God. No, we don't find God. God has found us. And we acknowledge that. We run to Him. Yes, Jesus, we respond. Look at this man. As he looked, he was just so happy. So happy that Jesus even wanted to speak with him, that Jesus wanted to sit with him and eat with him. This is a very personal God who wants to be involved in our lives, who doesn't just want to be involved in the big things, but cares enough to just share a simple meal, who cares about just the little moments in our lives, who wants to be there when we're just doing menial tasks that we do every single day. He just wants a relationship with us. I think there's many things that could keep us from wanting and going after this sincere love of Jesus that Zacchaeus had. And I know this is something that many of us wrestle with. And in a second, Carrie is going to come up and she's going to share about some of the things that she's wrestled with when it comes to just being like Zacchaeus. Well, do I have this? Do I have that? I don't know, God. Do you really want a relationship with me? And the fears and a lot of the insecurities that we have, where we wonder, does God really want to have a relationship with me? Am I really enough for Him? Am I really enough for Him to care about the little things? So, Carrie, you can come up and share.
Hi, everybody. Okay, got it. So I'm Carrie, and I really want to share with you guys something that really is something that I'm growing on in my life right now. And going back to the scripture, I really love this passage so much for so many reasons. There's something about, to me, there's something about being seen, especially by Jesus. I know that's something that all of us girls love talking about, that we love feeling seen and understood. But there's something that is really big in this passage that really hits my heart and really strives for me to be more like Zacchaeus. I would say Zacchaeus. Mess it up. And that's people-pleasing. And I don't know if any of you can relate, but I read this and it really shows how his desire to please Jesus outweighs the fear of man. So what TJ was talking about, and he is a tax collector. So people probably don't like him. And I know personally that would really affect me. We like you. They probably, maybe, don't like him. I'm digging myself a hole. So that would hurt me personally. And it's really funny because, also besides the desire for pleasing Jesus and outweighing our fear of people, but it's also outweighing our insecurities and exposing our insecurities that also lead to people pleasing. And it's really funny because I don't know, personally about him. Teresa and I were talking about it and she said it reminds him, she pictures him looking like Danny DeVito. So the scripture says he's short, and it makes me think, like, I wonder if he was insecure about that, if that was something that he was insecure about. So I would think that he might be a good candidate for people pleasing. You know, he doesn't, people might not like him, or he's insecure about all these things. So it makes me wonder how he really felt. Like, I wonder if he was seen, if he was heard. But nope, he climbs a tree because his desire to please, to even see Jesus, outweighed what everyone was thinking about him, and what his standard was for himself. And that's something that I really struggle with, and it's crippling to me. I base what I do on what I think everyone expects of me, but how can we ever know what people expect of us? And that never makes us secure. Then I fear that I'm not good enough. But there's something so pleasing and freeing about pleasing God over pleasing people. And we always know what God expects of us. And that's what's so awesome about our relationship with God, is because we always know what he expects. And there's such a peace and there's such a freedom with that. And that comforts me so much. I read the scripture and I think, like, personally, I really don't know if I would have climbed the tree. You know, have you guys ever thought about that, reading this? I think that I would have second-guessed climbing the tree, because I would wonder what people would say about me. I would climb it and be like, I don't even know if I could climb it. I would be insecure about that, what I looked like climbing this tree. I would think, oh, what is this girl trying to do? And then I'd go on, like, wondering if they're looking at my outfit or something like that. Or, oh, that's what she did yesterday. Or, like, just, like, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like everyone would just be looking at me and ridiculing me. And I wouldn't climb the tree because I wouldn't want people to be talking about me. But I would have missed out on the opportunity to lock eyes with Jesus. And not even lock eyes with him, but Jesus asked to come to his home. And after that, he said that today salvation has come to this house. And I read that and I'm like, wow, it all started with climbing this tree and not caring about what people thought about him or not caring about his insecurities. He just went for it. God just went for it. To not please people, you also must be humble. He really saw where he was at. He was like, I need this. Like, he saw that he did cheat people out of money. He did see that he needed Jesus. He was like, I'm doing this. And that was really awesome too. And I feel like me as a people pleaser, something that I'm really trying to work on is being humble and exposing my insecurities and saying, I am not good enough. You know, I do need Jesus. I do need this. And hiding in myself and not talking about these things. So the other thing that was really cool was it said in verse 7 that all the people began to mutter that he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. And I read that and I'm like, oh, I would have been like, Jesus, I don't know about this. Like, are you sure? You know, like being very insecure about even Jesus coming over. And I really wrestled with that. And I'm like, it really exposes where I am and things that I need to work on personally. But he wanted to please Jesus. He even said, I'll give back 4 times the amount. So he clearly wanted to please Jesus more than anything. Because he wanted to please Jesus, it all started with this tree, and then Jesus came to say, today salvation has come upon this house. So there's nothing in this world that we can do for anyone that will give us even anything close to salvation. And that comes from seeking and pleasing Jesus over the fear of people. That's something that I really wanted to share with you guys today. Amen.
Amen. Let's share. Yeah, I mean, I think what it comes back to is the question of what is keeping you from seeking Jesus the way that Zacchaeus has. From doing whatever it takes, even if you think you're going to look ridiculous climbing a tree, why does it matter? If only you could just get a little glimpse of who Jesus is. If you could just get a little bit more of an understanding of what He's like. Now I think everything that we've shared up till this point is not really very controversial at all. Right? We look at our world today, and the message of acceptance, you are enough, is a very popular message. It's one that people hear and is preached, right? Do you feel like you have to come to church to hear that? No. It's like all over the television, all over media. People want to be accepted. They like that message. Now what makes this different is the response that Zacchaeus had. After Jesus accepted him, see, a lot of times we look at God's acceptance as a license for us to continue on the path that we've been doing before. Oh, Jesus accepts me, thus I can keep living however I want to live. I can keep doing whatever I want to do, and it just does not matter. It doesn't make a difference. Yeah, I mean, you think about it, even if, let's say you had someone, I'll use a college example. Let's say you had a really good friend who took out, let's say $15,000 in student loans. Maybe $30,000 in student loans. Who knows? It could be way more than that nowadays, right? As we continue to go up. And they go, they get their education, you guys see each other on campus all the time, you're talking, it's going great, and you're just so happy to see them. And then all of a sudden, you look at your bills, and you see, wait a minute, why is there an extra $15,000 thing on this credit? This makes no sense. Where did this come from? And then you start learning, wait a minute, how come my friend just put his bill on my card? How would you react? I don't have that kind of money to spare. Who does he think this is? Who does he think that he's dealing with? How could he have the audacity to just charge it onto my account without letting me know otherwise? Without telling me? And I think that reaction that we would have, that anger, that frustration that we would feel, why do we feel okay when we do that to Jesus? When we say, Jesus, you know what? You've taken my sins away, so let me just add a couple more to the bill because you were going to pay it anyway, right? I don't care if the account is higher than it was before. And so that's how we can act. That's how we can treat God, when we just have this message of, you are enough acceptance, without this second part, without this response. Because when we really understand Jesus' acceptance, it calls us to be different. You know, Jesus' acceptance doesn't just mean an acceptance of Him, it's also an acceptance of who we are and where we stand before God. You know, you see Zacchaeus, as he was talking, his response, he recognizes his sinfulness and his sinful nature. How do we know this? Because, one, he says, I'm going to give away half of my possessions. Half of my possessions. That's insane. That's like I read an article a while ago about a guy who was getting divorced from his wife and was ordered to give half of his possessions away. And so what did he do? He took a chainsaw and literally gave half of his possessions to her. There's all these like pictures in it. I'm like, wow. Talk about a vendetta. And so, but you look at that, you think, wow, half of my possessions? That's a totally different life that this guy is living. Now going back to the Hebrew law, there were penalties that were given when somebody cheated someone, when somebody stole. And only in the case where you maliciously took something from someone where you expected to pay four times the amount. And so here's this tax collector. He looked at this and he says, you know what? Regardless of whether or not I took a little, if I took a lot, I see that my heart is not right. I see how the things that I've done in my life have negatively affected those around me. And so if I've cheated any one of them, anyone at all, I will pay back four times the amount. Now in a situation like this, yeah, he had a lot of money, but he got that money, and a lot of that money, from cheating others. Maybe this could have put him on the brink of bankruptcy. But he just, to him, it didn't matter. He said, this is not right for me to continue in the path and the way that I've been living my life. God, you need, I'm going to give everything to you. And this story comes a chapter after Jesus encounters a very righteous man, a very rich righteous man, who walks away sad from Jesus when Jesus asks him to give up everything to follow him. And so now we see an example on the other side of a man who was broken before God, who saw that he needed him, as Terry shared about, as we've been talking about all service. And God, I'm not gonna hold anything back. If I've done anything wrong, I will make it right, no matter what the consequences are to me. Now that's a very different level of understanding acceptance. It's one thing to say, okay, Jesus, I love this acceptance part of you. I want to keep following you. And if it doesn't turn out negatively for me, I will follow you and your ways. It's a whole nother thing to say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to go to you, to follow you, to be with you. Even if it costs me everything I have, you are worth far more. You are worth far more than any riches, any jewels, any activity, time, pleasure in this world. You are greater than it all. And so he goes joyfully to Jesus. And Jesus responds by saying, salvation has come to this house. Now this man has been saved for eternity, but also he's been saved from his past self. He no longer has to be the man that everyone looks at and hates. The man who people, because you imagine if somebody did something like this, their reputation would change very quickly. Right, if you heard of a case of a guy giving away half of his possessions and paying back everyone that he'd wronged and giving away to the poor, you'd be like, that's a pretty good dude. I was maybe wrong about him. This is a whole side that I have never known, that I have never seen. And that's the kind of response. When we understand how much Jesus accepts us, it should call us to act in a way that is separate, that is contrary to the world, that when people look at it, they say, that must be God. Because there's no one else who could move someone to such an extreme, to such even what others might consider an insane, crazy extreme, that they may live their life that way. Now here's the great thing as we start to close out. As Jesus calls him a son of Abraham, a true son of Abraham, here's a man who's felt rejected by God his whole life. He looks at Abraham and says, wait, what? Abraham, the father of faith. I'm like him? I can be like him? But I thought he's this incredible man. I don't have faith like that. I can't be like that. But when we say, God, you have everything. I give you my whole life. That's what we are. We are true sons and daughters of faith. We partner with Jesus. Because we see that Jesus isn't interested. Right? He's not coming to seek everybody who has it all together. The people whose lives are just miraculous and just, you look at them and you think, oh, they're always properly dressed. Every single button is perfect on their shirt and their shirt's perfectly pressed and their pants and all. You know, they just look like their life is just perfect. That's not who Jesus came for. Yes, He came for them too. But He came for those of us that know that we are lost. And so in that case, since it's not based on us, and it's based on God's love, on God's mercy, we are enough. And what we give is enough as well. Whatever you have, whatever half of your possessions is, whatever you're four times paying back, that heart of God, I'm willing to take responsibility for every action that I've done in my life and put them before You because I love You and I will try to make it right as far as I'm in charge of. That's the example. That's the response of someone who gets being enough in God's eyes. So as we close out today, let us reflect on our own hearts, on our own lives. If we view Jesus in the same way that Zacchaeus viewed Jesus, if we are willing to go to whatever lengths it takes, even if it means staying up late at night just to get 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the Word of God, if it means waking up early to have a time of prayer, if it means I'm tired, I'm exhausted, but my brother or sister or someone is in need of serving, then I will go. Because God has called me to go, and I'm grateful for how He's accepted me. Let's go to God in prayer as we close out and reflect on these things. Dad, we're so grateful that we are enough in Your sight. I pray that we can have truly repentant hearts that just are so grateful for how You love us and how You care for us. How You want to have an intimate relationship with us. How You don't just want to be there and do big things, but You really want to be there even as we just go through our day-to-day lives. You just want to spend time with us. You see us. And I pray that we can have sincere faith like Zacchaeus, where we'll go to whatever length possible just so that we can see Him, just so that we can know You, God. We love You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.